Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Burden. Thanks so much for tuning in to our Every Nation channel. And as always, I want to remind you that God has got a word for you. God's got a word for you. And so before we get going, let me just state the obvious. Yes, I'm rocking the glasses. I'm old and I can't see my notes now. Okay, don't judge me. Get off me, man. And I do want to begin our time with this is, you know, this is going to be the final installment of our series we've done on our book, The Longest Game, Winning in Life. And I just want to say thank you to those of you that have purchased the book and have been following along with us. Just thank you so much for your support, and I hope you've enjoyed it. And so we're going to be doing a chapter 12 today from our book, Making Your Last Game Your Best Game. And here, I'll start our time like this. It was December 28th, 2000. I was actually playing for the Atlanta Thrashers, and we were in, to the world's greatest arena, Madison Square Gardens in New York City, to take on the New York Rangers. And so it was amazing. That year, I'd signed as a free agent with the Atlanta Thrashers, and I just wasn't having a good year. I was in and out of the lineup. And in fact, when we were in to play the Rangers, I wasn't supposed to play the game. Coach wanted me to take warm-ups just in case someone got injured or something happened. And sure enough, I took warm-ups. And then after the warm-ups, I was taking all my gear off, unlacing my skates, when Coach came into the locker room and he says, "Adam, you're in." I was like, whoa, man. So I'm in the game. I'm doing up my skates and trying to get my head around that and get going. And here's what's such a cool thing is, man, we went into Madison Square Gardens and we beat the Rangers 4-1. And I remember that night too, man. I played a lot and I really had a good game. In fact, after the game, our head coach came up to me and he says this. He says, "Adam," he says, "that's the best game I've ever seen you play." You know, it's funny, at the time, I didn't realize what a gift that was to hear those words. Man, that was the best game I've ever seen you play. Because unbeknownst to me, it would be the last game I would ever play. The following evening, we were in Long Island to play the New York Islanders. I managed to play 3 minutes of that hockey game before rupturing a disc in my back, and I would never play hockey again. Man, it's just so crazy. Like, as I look back, you know, having played hockey like for 33 years of my life, and it just seemed like it was never going to end until it did. Man, isn't life like that so much? It's like, man, like when you're in your 20s, you're never going to be 50 until you are. Moms and dads, you know, you have your kids and as infants, and man, things are crazy. There's chaos in your house, and man, your kids are never going to grow up and be on their own until they are, and the house is empty. Man, isn't it crazy the way time flies? In fact, James, the Lord's brother, says in James 4:14, he says this: our life, it's kind of like a vapor. It's here in the morning and it's gone in the morning. Let me read a comedy bit, because man, this comedian was just paying attention to life and how quickly it moves and how odd we are, man, at this thing, this vapor called life. This comedian notes, he says, "Do you realize that the only time in our lives when we like to get old is when we're kids? If you are less than 10 years old, you're so excited about aging that you think in fractions. How old are you? I'm 4.5. You are never 36 and a half. You are 4.5 going on 5. That's the key. You get into your teens and now they can't hold you back. You jump to the next number, even a few ahead. How old are you? I'm going to be 16 and you could be 13. But hey, you're going to be 16. Then the greatest day of your life, you become 21. Even the words sound like a ceremony. You become 21. Yes, but then you turn 30. Ooh, what happened there? Makes you sound like bad milk. He turned. We had to throw him out. There's no fun now. You just soured. What's wrong? What's changed? You become 21, but you turn 30, and then get this, you're pushing 40. Whoa. put on the brakes. It's all slipping away. Before you know it, you've reached 50 and your dreams are all gone. But wait, you make it to 60. You didn't think you would, but you made it. Before you know it, so you reach 50 and your dreams are gone. But wait, you make it to 60. You didn't think you would, but you made it. So you become 21, turn 30, push 40, reach 50 and make it to 60. You built up so much speed now that you hit 30. After that, it's a day-to-day thing. You hit Wednesday, you hit Thursday, you get into your 80s, and every day is a complete cycle. You hit lunch, you turn 4:30, you reach bedtime. It doesn't end there. In your 90s, you start going backwards. I was just 92. And then a strange thing happens. If you make it over 100, you become a little kid again, and you say, I'm 100 and a half. So kind of funny, but man, just so true. Man, that our life, it's a vapor, man. And it just goes so fast. I've heard it said this, that there, man, we have long days and short years. And so, man, our life is but a vapor. But here's the thing. Man, I'm just so grateful that my last game was my best game. And do you know I want that for you? Man, do you know that we just never know when our last game is? And man, I just want you to make your last game your best game, you know? And so let's get in today. So point number one, if you're a note taker, is this: make your last game your best game. Go all in with God. Go all in with God. Hey man, this has kind of been a life message for me. Don't be the halfway guy or the halfway girl. Man, I see people and they're kind of Christian. And I don't even know if that's a thing, if you can be a kind of Christian. In fact, in 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says this: for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are, here it is, fully committed to Him. And so God is looking for a people that are fully committed to Him. He's not looking for a halfway people. So do you know what you've done too? If you've said, man, I'm going to be kind of Christian. I'm going to be the halfway guy or the halfway girl. You know, you've doomed yourself to the most miserable existence possible. Like as a halfway Christian, man, you're a crappy Christian and a crappy sinner. You got too much God to enjoy your sin, man, and you're actually got too much of the world to make a difference with your life. And so do you know that like no one is attracted and drawn to, man, the halfway guy or the halfway girl? Man, you know, not even Jesus. Do you know it says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 to 16, Jesus says this. He says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. The Lord says, man, you are, if you're a lukewarm Christian, you're a halfway guy or a halfway girl, Jesus says, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. And isn't it true? Like, man, don't be that guy and don't be that girl. The halfway person, it's attractive to no one, man. When you go to Starbucks and order that $9 cup of coffee, man, you want either hot or cold. You don't say, hey, man, can I have a lukewarm coffee? Nobody is saying, hey, when you're looking for a restaurant, hey, I just want to find a mediocre restaurant. Or, man, I'm looking for a mentor in my life. Just someone that's mediocre, right? No one is looking for that. No one wants it. Not the least of which is the Lord. Amen. So you need to go all in with God. Go all in. You'll never regret it. So a little bit of a sidetrack here, but I'm going to say this. Dogs are dumb. Dogs are adorable, but dogs are dumb, okay? Cats, they're just arrogant, and they're not in the story today. But dogs are dumb, and here's the reason why. So we have one of our dogs was disobedient, man. We'd go to the bathroom in my house, so we decided, man, we're going to crate train this dog. This dog is going, at night, it's going to sleep in the crate. Dog hated the crate, right? Didn't want to ever go on the crate. But what we could do is we could get a piece of cheese or a piece of meat, put it in the crate, and that dog would run into the crate every time. Boom, we shut the door. Gotcha. You're trapped for the night. And the dog did it again and again and again. And so do you see my point? Man, dogs are dumb. And you know what? Man, so are we. So are we. Man, I don't know about you, but man, it just I know in my own life, man, there were these things where, man, I didn't want to do it. But yet, man, it seems like the enemy would throw temptation, a little piece of cheese, a little bit of momentary pleasure. And then what? I'm trapped with condemnation, sin, and shame. And I don't know about you, man, I just got tired of doing the same sin over and over, failing again and again and again. In fact, a little bit of my testimony is this, is, you know, I received the Lord Jesus Christ at 12 years old, and I kind of had my way of looking at salvation was this: Jesus, you can have most of me, but I still want to do certain things. I want to go out and party and drink and, man, you know, sleep around and do these different things, you know, as I grew up. And then eventually, you know, in 1987, I was eligible for the NHL draft. And man, I was the halfway Christian. I was kind of a Christian. And you know what was amazing to me is, man, my life was a mess. It just was. Man, I had the up and down walk with the Lord and an up and down walk in my life. In fact, it was amazing. I was eligible for the NHL draft. I was rated to go 12th overall in the first round, and I wound up going 39th in the second round, super late. I felt like such a failure, and I'm like, man, being the halfway guy is just screwing everything up. And so it was, I remember it was that day at the NHL draft, I pushed all my chips in with the Lord. I was like, Lord, I'm done being the halfway guy. I'm gonna go all in with you and show me what you got. And you know what? I've never looked back from that day with any regret whatsoever. Man, go all in with the Lord. Do you know what it does as you, man, as you start just laying down your yes and amen to the Lord? It builds a confidence in God. John would say it this way in 1 John 3:21. It says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have a confidence before God." And I just noticed, man, as I stopped being the halfway guy and went all in with the Lord, there was this deep, profound sense of confidence as I walked with God. There was a sense of strength and wholeness that was revolutionary to my life. And so, man, push all your chips in with the Lord. Go all in. And so, so what does going all in with God look like? Well, let me illustrate it this way. And so, man, this movie's getting really old now, so I might be losing some people. But there was an Academy Award nominated film. It was called Saving Private Ryan. Do you remember this? If you haven't seen it, shame on you. Okay. And so, anyways, in it, we have Tom Hanks. He plays Captain Miller, and he's assigned to rescue Private Ryan. Private Ryan was played by Matt Damon. And so he gets a group of men, and their sole assignment is to get Private Ryan back to the States alive. And through it all, in Normandy, France, there's just all this death and destruction, and all of Captain Miller's men are just die these horrific deaths, until in the very end, man, Tom Hanks, Captain Miller, he perishes, but Private Ryan, he makes it stateside. But before, man, the last breath out of Captain Miller's mouth, he reaches in to Matt Damon, Private Ryan, and he says this: "Earn this. Earn this." And then the movie flashes forward, man, all these years, and now Private Ryan is standing before the cemetery in Normandy, France, in all these grave sites, and he stands before Captain Miller's grave, and he says this: "I've tried to earn the life that you've given for me." And then you can see all this terror on his face as Captain Private Ryan's wife comes, and he's like, "Tell me I'm a good husband. Tell me I'm a good dad." There's all this terror. Did I earn, man, the shed blood of all these men? And let me be clear. You don't earn salvation. Salvation is a gift from Almighty God. But I would say this. Man, God's one and only Son shed his blood for you. And now the question, because he did that, man, now how should we live? How should we live? And Paul's going to answer that question. And this is what it looks like to go all in with God. Romans 12:1, Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, here it is, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Man, listen, there's all kinds of things worth dying for. Man, your family, your country, man, your faith. But there's only one thing worth living for, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that purchased you and me through his shed blood at the cross. It's how we go all in with God, that each and every day, man, we are a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. Point number two is this, man, make your best, your last game your best game by letting it fly. Man, letting it fly. Let me read to you Ephesians 5:16. Paul says this, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And I just so love the urgency of Paul, man. He's like, man, this is the day God's given us. Let's make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So quick story. When I was playing for the Carolina Hurricanes, we had flown into Colorado to play the Colorado Avalanche. And Colorado at that time had a soon-to-be Hall of Fame goaltender by the name of Patrick Roy. If you're American, it's Pat Roy, okay? And Patrick Roy, he was actually trying to become the most winningest goaltender of all time. And so the Hurricanes, we were into play, and we played a back-and-back battle, and the game was tied, and we went into overtime. And so for those of you that don't know, when it goes into overtime, that's usually when players of my caliber sit on the bench and don't get to play anymore. All right, so man, I've scored 37 goals throughout my 14-year career. If you're doing the math, that's not real good. But I will say this, I do have 5 game-winning goals and 3 overtime winners, all right? So you can call me clutch or whatever you want to do. But that night, I didn't think I was going to get out in the overtime. And sure enough, at the end of the overtime, coach randomly throws me out there. I'm like, what in the world? I get to play in the overtime? This is amazing. And I just thought, man, let's just go for it. And a teammate of mine, Kevin Dineen, he drove the puck into the corner and passed it back to the point. Man, and I just got to let it fly. Blew that thing past Pat Roy, and we won, man. And so here's the deal, man. I just want you to let it fly with your life. You know, the great prophet Wayne Gretzky said this, that you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take, man. And so, man, let your shot fly. Let it go, man, with your life. Do you know Moses, man, he didn't think, man, he could deliver God's people out of Egypt. But he says, man, what the heck? Let it fly. And God, through God's grace, he led people, God's people out of the land of Egypt. That we get to, man, these 12 disciples, these 12 misfits, these nobodies. And what did they do? Man, they decided to let it fly. They sold everything they had and they followed Jesus. And now we know them as the 12 apostles, these men that turned the world upside down. Man, let it fly. How about David? David, the one who defeated Goliath. If you remember the story from 1 Samuel, man, God's people are confronted with a Philistine giant. Man, Goliath, their champion, he couldn't be beat until he was. He was met by a shepherd boy, David. And I don't know if you know, like, do you know that the greatest sporting event in our nation's history is the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team? Man, we won the gold medal against all odds. And man, Coach Herb Brooks, he says this, he says, great moments are born from great opportunity. And David, he had his opportunity as he stood before the giant. Man, he is outmatched, outsized, outmanned. And what happens? He just lets it fly, man. He lets it rip, and he kills the giant. And listen, what if he doesn't let it fly? If he doesn't let us fly, it's a much different a story we read about. It's like David confronted the giant, and David went home to be with the Lord, right? It's a much different outcome. And so, man, I want to encourage you. Man, your life, while we have breath in our lungs, man, let's make the most of every opportunity. Man, and let your life fly for Jesus. You know, David, it says before he confronted the giant, he found five smooth stones. Man, he used one to bury it in the head of that giant, leaving him with four smooth stones left. And what a tragedy it would be if David just never let those four stones fly. And he stood before Almighty God, and God would be like, why do you still have four stones? Why didn't you let it fly when you had breath in your lungs? You see that Goliath, he actually had four brothers, four other giants. And so David in his life, man, he would let those stones fly and he would take down those giants, right? And so what are you doing, man? Don't hold back with your life. Man, God has a great plan and a destiny for you today. Man, so let it rip and let it fly with your life. It says in Ephesians 2:10, it says that that we've been created, man, for good works that God has been He's created for us to walk in them, right? And so, listen, there's been moments in my life when I was a coward and I didn't let it fly. So, for example, back with my team with the Atlanta Thrashers, I would host Bible studies for my teammates at my home. And so there was one young man by the name of Dan Snyder. He was just a young kid, 24 years old. And man, but he was curious about the Lord. And he came to this Bible study. But you know what? I figured, I'll share the gospel with them or get to kind of like really sit down and try and drive it home at a later date. And anyways, fast forward a year later. Dan Snyder and another teammate were racing in a Ferrari through the streets of Atlanta when the Ferrari went out of control and smashed and it killed Dan Snyder instantly. And so I think we have an image of the wreckage. And here's the crazy thing, man. Like I don't have a do-over. I can't go back. And so, man, I just got to trust in the grace of God to save. But, man, I wish I would have let it fly in those moments with Dan Snyder. I don't get another shot at that. But I'll say this, though. You know, my family and I, we used to take vacations in St. Croix. And we would go to St. Croix. And there's these little food joints we would go to. And one in particular, there was a little pub that we would go to. And there, man, I'd meet this guy. His name was Tom. He actually was an engineer, a retired engineer from NASA. That was kind of intriguing to me. And so we would get to talking. And he would have a little bit too much to drink. And inevitably, we'd start talking about spiritual conversations. And he assured me that he's an atheist, doesn't believe in a God. And man, I was just pounded at home, man. Tom, you got to believe, man, when you see the glory of God, man, all around you. And so, man, I was just ministering to him. And so anyways, we went back. And then the following year, we came back to St. Croix. And I found out that Tom had passed away. And it was such a gift from the Lord, man. As I drove by his home, he was actually building a boat from scratch, and the name of the boat was Grace. And you know what I know is that you and I have been saved by grace through faith. I just feel like that was such a gift from the Lord that somehow, some way, man, God, the grace of God was found in his life, and he was saved. And so, man, I want you to let it fly with your life. And let me read a quote to you from William Carey. William Carey, he's the father and father of modern day missions. And Carey says this: expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Can I paraphrase that? Man, let it fly. Let it fly. Jesus in Matthew 25, he tells a parable of the talents. And so there's a wealthy man who gives to his servants one 5, one 2, and one talent. A talent was a talent of gold was roughly worth, in today's dollars, $1.4 million. And so listen to me. Man, if you're a one talent person, I got news to you. Like, God has entrusted you with much. $1.4 million. And so here, if you'll allow me, man, 5, 2, and 1, man, they represent opportunities that God has given with your life. Some people have more opportunities than the other, but the question is, are you going to let it fly? Man, the one with 5, entrusted with 5 and 2, they went and they doubled their opportunities, man, and made a profit for the kingdom of God and the glory of God. But one did nothing with their opportunities. Man, they didn't let their stone fly. And what happens? Man, the master says this, "You wicked and lazy servant." Man, harsh words from the Lord. And so, man, I want you to make your last day your best day. And so each and every day, man, let it fly for the glory of God and the good of the world. And then lastly, point number three is this: make your last game your best game by making today your masterpiece. Man, make today your masterpiece. I've heard it have been said this, that time is measured in minutes, but life is measured in moments. Man, while there's breath in your lungs, make a moment, man. Make a moment with your life today. Today is God's gift to you. And so let me read to you Ecclesiastes 3, verses 12 to 13. It says this: "I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man." And so I don't know if you caught that, man. God says, man, today is God's gift to you. Like, do you know not everybody gets today, but you do. And I do. And so, man, let's make a masterpiece of the day that God's given to us. As we go on, you know that I've told this story before, but man, there's a pastor, down in Dallas. His name is Matt Chandler. And as a young man, he was diagnosed with stage 4 malignant brain cancer. He had a wife and 3 young children. Man, the prognosis is that he could live like 3 months, maximum 3 years. And so you can imagine getting a diagnosis like that, how absolutely devastating it would be. And it was to him. But eventually, he would refer to his diagnosis as the gift. Can you imagine that? But here's why he says it was a gift. Because, man, with that diagnosis, the facade, man, was lifted up. This lie, this belief that, man, we're never going to die, that tomorrow is a guarantee for you and I, it just isn't. In fact, you know, his wife, Lauren, man, she was sitting with the oncologist, and she's like, "So tell me the prognosis. Tell me, man, the length, how long can we expect?" And the doctor very matter-of-factly says, "Well, he could live for 3 months, 3 years, or he could get hit by a car in the parking lot." And the big idea was this: hey, man, we don't know. Nobody knows how long we got. In fact, I know many of us, we feel sorrow for Matt Chandler, maybe with that diagnosis. But here's the reality: he might outlive you and me. And so, man, he calls it the gift. And here's the reason why: man, today is a gift from God. Man, when you hold your children, man, hold your children, be fully present. Men, when you hug your wife, man, hug your wife, man, be fully present with her, man, because today is the gift from God, and be grateful with today. Man, I see so many people, man, you're wishing away your today, and man, your whole tomorrow is just everything you're living for, and you're bypassing the gift of today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. You know, it's funny, as I get older, it's amazing. There just becomes this clarity kind of with age of what's important and what's not important. And I just so appreciate the words of Emma Bomback. And she was asked the question, if she could live her life over again, would she do anything different? And she wrote this essay, which I found to be so profound. And she said this: if I had my life to live over again, I would have spoken less and listened more. Instead of wishing away 9 months of pregnancy and complaining about the shadow over my feet, I'd have cherished every minute of it and realized that the wonderment growing inside me was to be my only chance in life to assist God in a miracle. She went on, "I would never have insisted the car windows be rolled up on a summer day because my hair had just been teased and sprayed. I would have invited friends over to dinner even if the carpet was stained and the sofa faded. I would have eaten popcorn in the good living room and worried less about the dirt when you lit the fireplace. I would have taken the time to listen to my grandfather ramble about his youth. I would have eaten less cottage cheese and more ice cream." And all God's people said, amen. She goes on, "When when my child kissed me impetuously, I would never have said later, now go get washed up for dinner. There would have been more I love yous, more I'm sorries, more I'm listenings. But mostly, given another shot at life, I would seize every minute of it, look at it and really see it, try it on, live it, exhaust it, and never give the minute back until there is nothing left of it. And so I just so appreciate, man, those words, man, the words of wisdom of someone that's got a little bit of a life under a belt, man. Man, make today your masterpiece. There was a kid, Greg Kohler was his name. So get this. He quite possibly is known as having the shortest NHL career ever. They estimated that he played in the National Hockey League for a total of, wait for it, 4 seconds. It was December 29th, 2000. He was with the Carolina Hurricanes. I think we have an image of him, and they're in to play the Columbus Blue Jackets. And you can imagine Greg Kohler, his entire family, they were watching from Canada on the TV. They were waiting for their son to get on the ice, and he actually never touched the ice the entire first period. And then the second period came along, and coach tapped him on the shoulder, "You're up next." And this was going to be Greg Kohler's moment. And sure enough, man, he flew over the boards and took several strides onto the ice until suddenly the referee blew the whistle. After 4 seconds, a penalty was called. And so what happened is Greg had to come back off the ice, and he would never get back on the ice as an NHL hockey player ever again. They would interview Greg Kohler years later and say, they asked him, "Do you have any regrets?" To which he replied, "I have no regrets what I did with my 4 seconds in the NHL." And so the reality is this, man, if our life truly is a vapor, man, our life is 4 seconds long, man, what are you doing with your 4 seconds? Man, I pray you don't look back at when your 4 seconds are up with all this regret, but man, you make today your masterpiece. Let me end our time together with this story. You know, there's a Swedish alchemist by the name of Alfred Nobel. And Alfred Nobel, he was known as he invented dynamite. Now, he invented dynamite because he thought this explosive, which was so dangerous, can take so much human life, that it actually would bring peace to the world because people would be afraid to use it. And instead, it brought death and destruction in mass numbers. And so, Nobel, became rich because of dynamite. But here's the strange thing, is one morning Alfred Nobel got up and he just happened to be reading the obituaries, and his obituary was in the newspaper. And as he's reading his obituary, it says that Alfred Nobel was a very wealthy man at the expense of millions and millions of lives. And that thing just crushed and devastated him. And so I love, man, that Nobel would go on and say this. He says, every human being should get a second chance at rewriting his obituary. And so Nobel, now he went on a mission that he was going to bring peace and life to the world. And so he created what you and I know now as the Nobel Peace Prize. It's awarding to those, man, who look for global peace around the world. And so here's what I want to say. This is your chance to rewrite your obituary. Man, you have roughly 4 seconds. And what are you going to do with the 4 seconds that God has given to you? Man, make today your masterpiece. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this time. And Father, I pray, Lord, for each and every soul. God, we thank you so much. God, Lord, for the gift of today. God, may we love people well. Lord, may we not let fear, shame, or guilt, Lord, bind us up, but may we let it fly with our life. And Lord, thank you, God, for the gift of today. And Lord, we're going to make it, Lord, a masterpiece to the glory of God and the good of people. Lord, I bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.